On the next episode of Sip Suds and Smokes,
we're going to be discussing the 2024 Diageo special releases.
Where's the woohoo soundtrack? Click that button. I need some woohoos.
Woo!
Yes.
You happy about that? We have the Talisker Tidal Churn 8-year-old special releases. We have the Oban Coastal Orchard 10-year-old special releases. We have the Rose Isle Origami Kite 2 12-year-old special release. The Singleton of Glenord Autumn Walk 14-year-old special release. The Mortlach Midnight Dusk Cask Strength special release. The Benrinis Grand Crescendo 21-year-old special release. The Kalila Ambrosia Feast 11-year-old special release. And the Lagavulin Fireside Tales 12-year-old special release.
We'll be right back after this break. Almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sipping time.
Hey, yes, it's sipping time again. Welcome to this Sips episode where everything good in life is worth discussing.
Yes, it is.
As always, we are the best thing on at 2 a.m.
Nope. I get home at 2 a.m. and I have to catch up on my streaming shows, man. My wife has not still watched Slow Horses with me. I'm still waiting to watch Slow Horses. I'm like a season behind.
I like Landman.
Landman's great.
Anything with Billy Bob's awesome.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet, but I hear good things.
I've been hearing good things about Shrinking, too. Harrison Ford's in it. Harrison Ford's doing a
Shrinking?
TV show.
It happens when you get old.
Yeah. Take your calcium, guys. Take your calcium.
Yeah. Or else you end up the Hunchback of Miami Beach.
That's so right. And look, when you get older, don't be afraid to have your pants tailored. Don't pull them up to your chest. Get them shortened.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
what you're not supposed to have them on your nipples.
That's a specific kink to you.
All right. Yeah, but those are slacks. Those are different than pants.
Okay.
Yeah, those are made out of a non-natural material somewhere.
Polyester slacks are the best, man.
Developed somewhere in the space program.
No wrinkles. Polyester slacks.
There's a reason they take the skin off. I use them for refinishing furniture. Well, this is Mayman Bob, and joining me today.
There was a tangent.
good old boy, Maury.
Good morning, Bob. Thank you for having me here in the basement.
Maury's a made man, isn't he?
I don't know. Did I say? I don't remember what I said.
You called him a good old boy.
Yeah, well, I didn't want to correct him online.
And good old boy, Justin.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here with my nipple slacks.
And less than good old boy harm.
I object to the term good old boy. Because it brings to mind a toothless hick. I've got all my teeth.
But you didn't quite measure up to that. That's why you're less than that.
But you but you keep them in a jar under the bed.
Well, I've got other people's teeth in a jar under the bed.
Yeah, I know. It's creepy, dude.
You know, I don't call them my victims. I call them my special friends.
Well, then that's different. Yeah, that's different then. Okay.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, Bob. This is a good show.
Puts the lotion on its skin or else it gets the hose again.
That is true. I mean, you have to have standards. Put some lotion on there.
Yeah, right in the toilet. What are we? 3 minutes, 17 seconds, right in the toilet. All right. So our sip segments are all about wine, distilled spirits, tea, coffee, and anything else you can sip. And here's today's episode. We're going to be discussing the 2024 Diageo special releases.
Where's the woohoo soundtrack? Click that button. I need some woohoos.
Woo!
Yes.
You happy about that? So here's the whiskeys we're going to be tasting from this year's release. And thank you again to the folks at Diageo for sending them to us. So we have the Talisker Tidal Churn 8-year-old special releases. We have the Oban Coastal Orchard 10-year-old special releases. We have the Rose Isle.
2024.
Yeah. Well, these are all 2024. The Rose Isle Origami Kite two 12-year-old special release, the Singleton of Glenord Autumn Walk 14-year-old special release, the Mortlock Midnight Dusk Cast Strength special release, the Benrinis Grand Crescendo 21-year-old special release, the Kalila Ambrosia Feast 11-year-old special release, and the Lagavulin Fireside Tales 12-year-old special release.
Only the Mortlock has cast strength in the label and the name, but they're all cast strength.
Yeah, but it's not an age statement for that one. So
yeah.
So we're going to have Justin tell us all about our sips ratings.
All right. One sip. Give me a glass of water to wash out my mouth.
Me mouth.
Ganga Bean, water.
Ganga Bean, drink water. Drink water.
Two sips. Nice, but what else do you have?
Well, isn't that nice?
That one fell apart.
Yeah.
Three sips. Interesting.
That was a little. That was Peter Lorre.
What was this again?
Yes, it's very interesting. What was this that you gave me again?
That's Peter Lorre. Okay.
Four sips. Let's keep this secret to ourselves. Pour me another.
That was a little Robin the Lychee.
Yeah, he's getting into Vivian. What's the name of that show? He was the punk, the Odd Ones. What's
the Young Ones?
Young ones.
Five sips. Oh my! I was unaware anything could be this good.
Oh my goodness!
It's a whole
village of idiots.
Yeah. It's not Scottish. It's crap.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just.
What does George think?
Oh my!
That's what George thinks. So. Well, each year the folks at Diageo's.
Can we do five sips yet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us.
I'm losing time. It's good whiskey.
So each year, the folks at Diageo search through their vast catalog of aging stocks and create a unique collection of whiskeys for their special releases collection. We've done the special releases several years. This year's theme is the Spirited Exchange Second Edition. This is the second installment of the theme that debuted last year, which is about curiosity and what happens when you challenge yourself to think, what if, leading them to explore a variety of maturation techniques, with each of the eight expressions crafted under the guidance of master blender Dr. Stuart Morrison. As always, the special releases are one of the most anticipated releases of the year in the Scotch world, so let's get started, and we're going to have Maury tell us about our first whiskey.
Why, thank you, Bob. The first whiskey is the Talisker Title Churn 8-Year-Old Special Release 2024. It is 58.7% ABV, or 117.4 proof. It is matured in refilled and first filled bourbon casks, and then finished in stone spun casks. The barrels are spun with stones and water, polishing away the existing char, and then they are re-toasted, and they are made of American oak. That's a unique barrel type that I'm not really familiar with, but it is a method of reconditioning barrels and essentially recharging them, if you will. The Talisker was founded in 1830 by brothers Hugh and Kenneth McCaskill, who operated the distillery until bankruptcy in 1848. That's a short 18-year run. The distillery went through several owners until Roderick Kemp and Alexander Allen bought the distillery in 1880 and expanded it. Kemp sold out to Allen in 1892, and upon Allen's death in 1895, Allen's business associate, Thomas McKenzie, took control. McKenzie operated the distillery until his death in 1916, when the distillery was taken over by a group of blenders, including John Walker and Sons, Dewar, WP, Lowry, and DCL. These firms all eventually merged into what is today Diageo. So, this first whiskey is a pale yellow color on the nose. There's lots of malt and certainly a faint hint of maritime, as well as some minerality and oyster shells.
Good call on the oyster shell.
On the palate, there's some seaweed, some lots of pepper and spice, some creamy mouth-filling texture with some saltiness in the mid-palate. And then I get a fair amount of smoke that carries from the mid-palate into the finish. And I would say the finish is medium to long. Very interesting whiskey. The smoke comes as a little bit of a surprise at the end. Starts a little bit hot and then sort of mellows through the mid-palate. What'd you think, Justin?
I think this was like travel with your mouth and nose. I feel like I'm in a Scottish tide pool.
I've never traveled without my mouth and nose. They go with me everywhere I go.
I've never been to Scotland, but it really just puts a picture of like being in a Scottish tide pool in your mind. That was so cool. What did you think, Harm?
I think tide pool is not an apt description. To me, I think tide pool smell a bit rancid. I mean, you've got all those dead sea creatures. And there's too much sulfur. There's too much fishiness. I don't get that.
It's on a water flow.
I don't get that. I get the oyster shells more, he says. The maritime, that's salt water in the air. On the nose, what you guys did not mention was the fruit. I got tons of pears and apples. And I got, Maury said the smoke came on the mid palate. I got it earlier. I get it first on the nose. There's hints of smoke. It's like a bonfire in the background on the beach.
But way distant.
It's far.
It's down the beach.
You're not at the bonfire. The wood smoke is mingled with the sea air. Yeah, it's wafting in there. It's got a prickly mouthfeel. I don't think it's... did you say... Who said creamy? Somebody said creamy? No.
No, I agree with you. It's a little prickly.
I think it needs water to open it up because it is 117.4 proof. Just a drop of water will just bring out some more of that fruit and tone down the pepper. But Talisker is known for its pepper, which is fine with me. I'm very happy with that. The seaweed was a good call too, Maury. The pepper comes out. This is just a great expression of Talisker. Now, some of my favorite expressions of Talisker had a lot of ginger. This does not have the ginger.
Not at all.
Or gingerbread. This is black pepper, white pepper.
So I get ginger. It's weird.
You don't? You do get it?
Yeah. Retronasal exhale.
There you go. But it's not like there was a great expression a few years ago that was gingerbread. It was just total gingerbread cookie.
Yeah, this isn't overwhelming. It's just a subtle
Bobby Joe,
note.
What'd you think of this whiskey?
I thought it was delicious. It definitely ticks that sea breeze saltiness that you get, that maritime nature. But I got the fruit. I got more pear than apple.
Yeah, you're right. Pear's more.
I definitely got, you know, the salinity, the saltiness. With water, I get the creamy in the middle of the palate, but the prickly is all on the edge of the tongue.
Well, if you don't add the water, I don't think it's creamy. Yeah.
No, not at all. But add a little water and the middle palate sort of gets a little bit smoother. An excellent Talisker. I mean, really well put together.
You know, people are afraid of these young age statements. Don't be afraid. These are great.
Well, don't be afraid of a Talisker in general. It's great whiskey regardless, but this one is really, really well done. So we're going to be giving the Talisker Title Churn 8-Year-Old Special Release 4 sips.
That's classified.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of the rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing. We've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right. Keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, and we're back, and we're discussing the 2024 Diageo Special Releases. So we're going to have Justin tell us about our next whiskey.
So we're going to talk about Oban Coastal Orchard 10-Year Special Release 2024. It's 58% alcohol by volume, or 116 proof. It's matured in refill casks before being finished in charred American oak barrels, freshly seasoned with Oloroso sherry.
I like the way they're doing this. They add the Oloroso sherry to these old American oak barrels, season them, dump it, and
it's a cool idea.
Got more sherry coming out.
Yeah.
Oban was established in 1793 by brothers John and Hugh Stevenson, who built a brewery at the site of today is Oban Distillery. The brothers began distilling at the site the following year. The Oban Distillery remained with the Stevenson family until 1866, until it was sold to Peter Cumsty, a local businessman.
With an unfortunate name.
With an unfortunate name, who operated the business until 1883, when he sold to John Walter Higgin. With the arrival of the railroad in 1888, it became easier to get their whiskey to market, and the business grew. This growth led to Higgin rebuilding the distillery before he sold it in 1898 to Alexander Edward. Edward, in turn, operated the distillery until 1930, when it was acquired by DCL, which became Diageo. So the color is like a light copper. On the nose, it's kind of like lighting a vanilla candle at the edge of the sea in an apple orchard.
That's very evocative.
Yeah.
Why are you actually bright this time? What's going on?
It's just transporting.
You know, even a blind squirrel gets a nut once in a while.
These two spirits that we've had, they just put these visualizations in my mind. It's like a travel. It's pretty cool.
That was you talking about traveling with your nose in your mouth.
Yeah, this did it too. And on the palate, it's like smooth and sweet. I get like candied lemon, little salt, little pepper, little herbs. It's like the mixture I make before I'm going to grill a pork chop and light fruit.
This is your chimichurri?
Yeah, this is my chimichurri. And the finish is just nice sea salt. What did you think, Maury?
You know, I really can't disagree with anything you've said. I think it's a delightful whiskey. It's very well made. It definitely has a lot of inviting character to it. The citrus notes really kind of reel you in. The fruitiness. You know, this could be an all-day sipper, especially if you got the Barbie going and you're just grilling up some meat. I think it goes well. Arm?
Yeah, that's a good call, Maury. The barbecue and this. This is perfect. Now, I did taste it with and without water. Without water, I got most of what you guys were saying, the sea salt vanilla thing, the vanilla candle, the sea salt, the herbs, the light fruit. I didn't get the candied lemon, but it was very prickly on the palate. Orange and lemon on the palate came out that I didn't get on the nose. The pepper was there. Cinnamon was there. Finish is infinite. It just goes on forever. But with water, oh my God. Now, that sea salt blossoms. I smell like freshly clean linens. There's tons of beautiful apple, like, and salted caramel coming out. Oh, wow. It's amazing. And then the palate, let's see. More citrus came out with water. The palate got creamy in texture. Great vanilla. Very gentle pepper compared to the Talisker. And it gets a sweet spice at the end, and the finish did not get diminished by adding water. It actually gets better. You've improved the mouthfeel, and the finish goes longer. Bob, yeah, tell me how
it's
wrong.
Much. It was great before, but it definitely takes a whole step up with water. With the water, I definitely the salinity comes front. Yeah. With the water
on the nose, especially.
Yeah, it's like being in an apple orchard. In Provence, next to the ocean. I mean, it's just like you're smelling the apples, you're smelling the sea salt, you're smelling that breeze, you're smelling the linens.
And like he said, somebody lit a vanilla candle.
The linens drying on a string, you know, on a line. It's
clean linen.
It's very mind opening, and it's so pretty. It's just got such a great finish to it.
The water really brings out the fruitiness.
Yeah, did.
I mean, it becomes a fruit bowl.
Not quite a fruit bowl, but yeah, this is compared to what it was before. Yeah.
The citrus amps way up with the water.
So does the apple.
You know, the orange, the lemon.
Yeah. Apple too. The apple came up too. At first it was just the orange.
The apple, it ramps it up, but it's more back palate for me. I mean, this is an absolutely lovely open.
You see why people wait for these special releases every year.
Yeah, yeah, there's a reason. And that's why I very kindly, humbly ask them if we can have them every year. And most years we get them, so they're very kind to send them. And this one was fantastic. So we're going to be giving the Oban Coastal Orchard 10-year-old special releases 2024 a well-deserved 5 sips.
Oh, my goodness!
Yes! 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 Yes!
So that brings us to our next whiskey, and we're going to have Harm tell us about that one.
Thanks, Bob. So the Rose Isle Origami Kite number 2, 12-year-old special release 2024, is 55.6% ABV or 111.2 proof, matured in refill ex-bourbon and American oak casks. Opened by Diageo in 2010 with a capacity of 10 million liters per year, the biomass plant at this eco-friendly distillery allows it to generate a large portion of its own energy, and the heat recovery system in place uses captured waste heat from the distillery at the Berghead Maltings across the street. The distillery was designed to allow them to switch between stainless and copper condensers, allowing them to make both heavy and light distillate. So this is the first Rose Isle I've ever tasted. I have actually a bottle at home now because I was able to get a few cases of this this year. And last year, Rose Isle did not come to Florida. I believe some of the big boy chains who have stores outside of the state were able to transfer stuff from out of state. But Rose Isle number 1 did not come to Florida, so this is the first time I've ever had this. This is a very pretty whiskey. It's a deep golden color. It's all about vanilla and sea salt and caramel with poached pears, a little bit of light spice. That fresh linen notes I was mentioning, the Oban, is here as well. Like freshly cleaned linen drying on in the sunshine. Ask your grandparents, kids. They'll tell you about drying stuff on clotheslines outside. On the palate, it's a fruit cup. You were talking about the fruit cup and the other whiskey, Maury. This is where I got the fruit cup. Vanilla, fruit, spice, really long finish. More vanilla, and I'm getting some clove on the finish as well. Justin, tell me what weird things you tasted.
So on the nose, it was sweet, malty. It was light. It was approachable. I got flowers and apricot.
Yeah, I should have mentioned the floral note. You're right.
On the palate, it was herbal and floral to me, with like a nice mouthfeel of like viscous malt. And the finish was pleasant and thick. The mouthfeel followed through the finish.
Well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Water increased the viscosity.
It's dry January. I'm not putting any water in my whiskey this month. Yeah.
Keep your liver surprised, man. Once a week, drink some water. Maury?
I agree with you, Harm. Surprising, as much as I hate to admit it. Delightful whiskey. Really fun. Really amped up by some water. It's amazing. No one would ever think that. Most people think that water dilutes things, but this, the water amps up everything.
Well, if you're starting with low proof, viscosity. Water will dilute it. If you have high proof, it really helps.
But it amps up the viscosity and amps up the flavors. It amps up the mouthfeel. In this case, I mean, again, it's a very, very narrow therapeutic window. Too much and you've lost it. Too little, nothing. But I think it's beautiful.
Yeah, I think this is a fantastic whiskey. This is, I think, the second or third Rose Isle I've ever had. Again, it's not one that you see
I've
a lot.
I've never had one. Where did you have the others?
Back in the day with Alan. So.
Oh, yeah. Scotch Malt Whiskey Society of America.
So it's so lovely. It's, I mean, to me, the thing that jumped out before the water was flowers. Now, with a little bit of water, that salinity, the minerality comes forward.
Nobody else said vanilla. Nobody else get vanilla. It's more vanilla than floral.
On the nose,
to me.
Not so much for me. It's more flower. It's like a field of white flowers.
Than either of those two.
Okay.
On the nose,
fruit than vanilla or flower.
I get the fruit on the palate, but on the nose, I get like a field of white flowers.
No, I don't disagree. But I
clean laundry. You know, when you open the dryer, that smell that hits you, and on the palate,
your Tide Downy sheet or Downy whatever lint. Dryer sheet
lint. It's right next to toe cheese in the
not
dictionary.
Belly button lint.
Oh yeah, I don't clean the dryer thing. Hell with it. Yep.
You don't clean your belly button either, I bet you.
Don't have one anymore after the surgery.
Oh yeah.
So but fruity. The creaminess, the coating of the palate comes out with the water. This one definitely a couple of drops is advisable without a doubt. But a really great malt from a distillery that's kind of new to pretty much all of us. So we're going to be giving the Rose Isle Origami Kite 2 12-year-old special releases 2024 a well-deserved 4 sips.
It's verging on 5. We're close. Yeah, we're close to 5.
It's, yeah, I mean, it's to me, yeah, with the water, it amped it up about a half a point for me. Yeah. So that takes us to our next one, which is from the Singleton of Glen Ord, the Autumn Walk 14-year-old special releases 2024. Let me grab that one.
Oh, my God.
It's 54.7 ABV, 109.4. This is matured in 3 separate batches, one in bourbon barrels, one in STR rejuvenated wine casks, and one in refill casks. The 3 batches were then blended in the finished casks made of European oak and Spanish oak heads. And you can definitely taste that Spanish oak. So Glen Ord was established 1838 by Robert Johnstone and Donald McLennan until they went bankrupt in 1847. They reopened in 1855 with new owners, Alexander McLennan and Thomas McGregor. After McLennan's death, his widow remarried Alexander McKenzie, who took over running the distillery in 1877. McKenzie sold the distillery in 1896 to the blending house of James Watson and Son. In 1917, with World War I raging, it was closed because barley rationing. They reopened in 1919, and the distillery was sold in 1923 to Thomas Dewar and Sons, which became part of DCL. War closed the distillery again in 1939, and it remained closed until 1946, as most of them did. In 1966, the distillery tripled production when they went from 2 stills to 6. In 1985, DCL merged with Guinness to form United Distillers Limited. In 1997, they merged with Grand Met, which became Diageo. So on the color, it's got a beautiful sort of dark burnished golden hue.
I call it copper.
It's like a light copper. On the nose, it's just citrus, vanilla pound cake. A little bit of pastry cream. And on the palate, hold on. On the palate, the orange literally leaps out of the glass. There's a little bit of a spice to it, a little bit of a white pepper note. Add a little water. Let's see. The water definitely brought the viscosity up. Gives it the water. Whoa, yeah. Add water. Absolutely, add water. The palate coating on this increases tenfold.
Well, because you have high ethanol with these high ABVs. It makes it lighter.
Yeah, this one's delicious. This is just why I've always liked the Glen Ord. I mean, this is the Singleton that I like. There's two.
There's two
favorite
distillers that make up Singleton. There's the most common one you see on the shelves in liquor stores in America is the Glendellen. Glendellen is the mediocre garbage they sell to us because they keep the Glen Ord for Europe and the Far East.
No, they just do it because they don't like you.
Well, in America, it's not just not me, not just me.
No, I asked them.
We do get
100% you.
Said, yeah, we do get Glen Ord. I had a 27-year-old Singleton Glen Ord Prima and Ultima single cask, but if you want to spend $2,000 plus on a bottle, that's the one you want. But the special releases tend to be Glen Ord. Last year's, we didn't do it for the radio show, and for some reason we got dropped off the list last year, but we've had previous editions. The Singleton from last year was a Glen Ord as well, and some other previous years. The Glen Ords is just, this distillery is a step up from the Glendellen. The Glendellen is for the masses, the people they look down upon. The Glen Ord is where they want. Oh my God. And you're absolutely right, Bob. Without water, I got more butterscotch and caramel with water, orange pastry. It's like you said, vanilla pound cake, with an orange cream glaze.
An orange cream on it.
Yeah, orange glaze. And it's so creamy with the water. Beautiful sweet orange peel.
So good.
There's some pepper and oak on the finish, but it goes on forever. It coats your mouth. And this is one to go out of your way for.
Yeah.
It's not super expensive because Singleton's not a super expensive brand.
And the finish without water, pretty good. With water, goes on forever.
I cannot get enough of this whiskey. You know, this is the one. This is one of the few this year I didn't taste at the store because people buy them. They open them with me. We have a little tasting parties, and this is one I haven't tasted before. Thank you, Bob. Thank you.
Let's see what Justin thinks.
Well, I spoke to groundskeeper Willie during the break, and he said, "Give her meat the crop." So that's what happened. This stuff is amazing. I agree with everything that Bob said. Maybe I added too much water. I kind of washed it out a little bit, but the mouthfeel did kick up. It's okay. I remember how I tasted it before the water. This is why I do dry January, but I broke it for the show.
What'd you think? Fish fornicate in the water.
Yeah. I think they nailed it with their tasting notes. The orange cream cake filling, the orange sponge cake hint of vanilla on the nose, and then this creamy, sweet hint of Seville orange on the peel on the palate. I mean, I think you guys have really nailed it. I think it's a beautiful whiskey. It's very interesting. The Seville orange and the just orange creaminess in general, the water definitely enhances it. I didn't think it needed water. It certainly didn't drink hot.
It's not because it drank hot. I guess it improved the mouthfeel.
But the water was an enhancement in both the mouthfeel, the palate, all the way around. Beautiful whiskey. Yeah.
Well, we're going to give the Singleton of Glenord Autumn Walk 14-year-old special releases 2024 a well-deserved 5-6.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I don't want people to get confused. We play up the fruit. It's not sweet. This is still a great malt. Still got that fire. Still got the pepper.
Correct. Very well said, Hermes.
Well, let's have Maury tell us about our next whiskey.
Thank you, Bob. The next whiskey is the Mortlach Midnight Dusk Cask Strength Special Release 2024, 57.5% ABV, 115 proof, finished in casks that formerly held sweet Italian Romandolo white wine and Italian Sangiovese red wine. Mortlach was the original name of the village now known as Dufftown. It was also the name of the local abbey founded by Saint
Mulog
in the 17th century, founded by James Finlater. Founded by James Finlater. Donald McIntosh and Alex Gordon in 1823, it was the first licensed distillery in Dufftown. In 1831, it was sold to John Robertson, who then sold it to A&T Gregory the next year. In 1837, Grant Brothers of Glen Grant became the owners and cannibalized the equipment at Mortlach for use at their distillery in Rothies. In 1853, George Crowe became the part owner and took over the sole operation. George's son, Alexander, joined in 1895, and in 1897, he increased the number of stills from 3 to 6. In 1923, the distillery was sold to John Walker and Sons, which became part of the Distillers Company Limited, DCL, which became Diageo. And we'll be back.
Yeah, commercial time. Not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love, our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Hey, and we're back, and Maury was telling us about the whiskey that he was tasting, the Mortlach.
Mortlach Dusk Cask.
Yes, Midnight Mortlach Dusk has a pale yellow color on the nose. There's certainly a lot going on. The palate, layered, crisp fruit, caramelized miso, hints of prosciutto emerge for a luscious umami fruity flavor. Umami. I think this is a really interesting whiskey. It's a little bit hot at first. The finish is medium to long, but it's got a lot going on that you can really dissect out of the palate. Harm, what'd you think?
I got a lot of caramel and butterscotch on the nose, a little bit of miso, very intense, very meaty. Got that umami thing going on again. Good call on that. Did you say prosciutto?
I did.
Okay. Maybe that's what it is. On the palate, seriously rich and meaty. And this is the thing. Mortlach is known as the Beast of Dufton. And I really generally have not been a big fan of Mortlach in over the years. I find out they're overpriced for what they are. I think the quality is good, but they ask a lot for what they make because it's a small small production distillery, and it's used in a lot of the bigger blends that Johnny Walker and Sons, you know, I've never heard of them either. They use them for a lot of their blends, and it's the backbone of some of these whiskeys, or maybe not really the backbone, but an accent. But last year's Mortlach, which we didn't review on the show for 2023 special edition, was the best one I had until today. This was amazing. Bob.
It's Mortlach. It's got that meatiness, that umami. It's got that spine that if you're making a blend, this is what you want to build a blend around. May not be your first choice, you know, for a glass, but it is definitely
it's
the
heavy.
Thing.
It's heavy
the thing that you build the whiskey on top of. But this one is, oh, it's so pretty. It's just meaty and unctuous.
It's not pretty. It's a masculine whiskey.
Yeah
that's I would what agree. I mean. It's more masculine than feminine.
And that's what I mean. It's pretty.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
Bob likes
so
the boys.
What'd you
Not
think?
Not there's anything wrong with that, Bob.
What'd On you the think, nose, Jess? I got candied pears and almond extract.
Pears, no. Almond, yes. What's with the pears coming from?
It's what I got.
What, we put water in?
Candied pears. No, I didn't put water in. I told you, it's dry January.
Okay, go ahead.
On the palate, the candied pears came through. I got like crystallized sugar and kind of like lemon. And it had the texture of beef tenderloin. And the finish was like,
well, that's subjective to say.
Oh, my beef tenderloin, you know, the Costco one. And hey, I'm cheap. And, you know, tightly candied lemon on the finish, tingly, pretty cool. I loved it.
Yeah, this one was lovely. So we're going to be giving the Mortlach Midnight Dusk Cast Strengths, or Dusk, Midnight, hold on, Mortlach Midnight Dusk. Cast Strength Special Releases 2024, a well-deserved 5.7.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Best Mortlach I've ever had.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of more expensive Mortlachs, really old age-statement ones. This is the best.
Well, age doesn't always mean everything. So
true.
Let's have Justin tell us about our next one.
I'm excited to tell you about Ben Rhenes Grand Crescendo, 21-year-old. Ben Rennie's. 2024, it's 55.4% alcohol by volume, or 110.8 proof. And no, I didn't do the math. It's not a third of anything. Matured for 8 years in
lawyers.
Right? Matured in 8 years in refill casks, then double matured for 13 years in wine-seasoned American oak, European oak, and rejuvenated casks with charred ends.
Is an end distillery. The same as a head?
Hmm?
Is an end the same as a head?
Yeah, the heads.
Nothing wrong with
the head. The head and the butt are the ends.
This distillery was established in 1826 by Peter McKenzie, but the distillery was destroyed in a flood in 1829, and the new distillery was built by John Innes a few miles down the road. Mr. Innes went bankrupt in 1834, and the distillery was sold to William Smith and Company, who ran it until 1864, when they also went bankrupt and sold the distillery to David Edward. The Edward family sold the distillery to John Doerr in 1922, and they didn't go bankrupt this time. It was absorbed by DCL in 1925, And in 1966, the stills were increased from 3 to 6. And in 1974, they began triple distilling their spirit. In 2007, they stopped doing that in favor of traditional double distilling.
Triple distilling for the Irish.
Correct.
Correct. So this spirit, I got sweet candied fruits on the nose, light cedar on the palate. I got malt spice and candied oranges, and the finish was woody. What did you think, Harmeet?
You know, I didn't even take any notes by this point. I was so overwhelmed by the Morlock. So let me do it right now in front of you guys. So on the nose, you said candy, right? I'll give you that. It's like, it's creme brulee, vanilla with that char, I mean, the caramelized sugar. I'm getting that sweet linen. There's a little hint of citrus here. And not butterscotch, but there's like this malty note that's really good and candied. And citrus is really coming out. Let me put a drop of water in this thing. All right. Let's try this again.
Ooh, chompers. Chocolate malt balls.
Whoppers. These are whoppers. Yeah, whoppers. Chocolate-covered malt balls.
Not chompers.
Yeah. So
that'll be my version.
Okay, the name was wrong, but the tasting note is right. This is malt. This is whoppers. With the water. Mouth coating. Beautiful. The chocolate malted milk. The citrus, it's like orange and lemon, a little bit of peach coming out, a little bit of pear. Long finish, it keeps going. I'm getting spice on the edges of my tongue, and I'm really enjoying it. Bob, what do you think?
I think it's delicious. The wine cast for me definitely comes through in that sweetness.
Yeah. Sugary. Ramondolo is this the Ramondolo cask?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ramondolo is a sweeter Italian white.
That comes through. It's rich. It's got a full mouth feel to, but once you add the water, I get more milk duds than I get whoppers.
Milk duds are chocolate covered caramel.
Yeah. But
I'm getting the malted milk.
That's what I'm getting. So, but yeah.
This is not the Ramondolo cask. This is seasoned European oak. Ramondolo is the previous one. But I'm not getting, I get the sugariness, but I don't know this wine. Maury, what do you think?
I liked it a lot. I didn't really get quite as much chocolate as you guys did in terms of the milk duds and the whoppers. For me, it was more fruity. I thought it was delightful. I thought the water really opened it up, really, you know, made the flavors explode on the palate. A lot more fruitiness, lengthened the finish. Really nice whiskey. I thought this was quite nice.
So let me give you a pro tip. If you go to a whiskey bottle, you go to a bottle share with your local whiskey club, bring the Ben Rennies. People don't know what it is.
Well, people don't know what anything is. No. It's your bottle club. Yeah. So we're going to give the Ben Rennies Grand Crescendo 21-year-old special releases 2024. Well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
So that brings us to our next whiskey. We're going to have Harm tell us about that.
Oh, is it my turn already?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Where are we here?
Kalila.
All right, this is another one I didn't bother taking notes on. It's so good. So the Kalila Ambrosial Feast, 11-year-old special release, is 57.3% ABV, 114.6 proof. It's matured in refill and shaved and toasted STR casks. So we were talking earlier about the stone tumbled casks. This is STR, shaved, toasted, and recharred. And it's made with American and European oak. Kalila was established in 1846 by Hector Henderson when he built a small distillery next to Port Skeg, named Kalila, which is Gaelic for the sound of the Isla, which is the small bay it overlooked. Blender Bullock Laid bought it in 1857 and ran it until it was absorbed into DCL, now Diageo, in 1927. Continued operation until 1972, where they demolished the old building and built a new distillery, increasing the number of stills from 2 to 6, making it the largest producer on Isla at the time. Further refurbishment was carried on in 2011. So this is a very different whiskey from the others before it, because this is unpeated Kalila. Kalila has done unpeated releases before. They very famously made one called Stichel's Reserve, a 14-year-old, a few years ago that was kind of widely available. Well, I say a few years ago. It was almost 20 years ago. But I'm old. The color is a deep copper. the nose. There is no peat here. This is, I like to describe Kalila as a marshmallow you put in the fire for too long, it's blackened, right? And you got all that char on the outside, inside is that sweet marshmallow gooiness and fruit. This, there's no char here. This is that marshmallow that's been just warmed up, a toasted marshmallow, not charred black.
You heathen, you just wasted that right on your front of your shirt.
I have been swirling a little too heavily. Great fruit coming out, that marshmallowiness, that that toastiness, and a little bit of chocolate on the finish. I didn't put any water in this. There's a hint of pepper because the alcohol is so high. I'm going to put a water in there. Wow. The nose is just a fruit cup. This is apples, pears, and toasty marshmallow, a little bit of caramel, a hint of black pepper. Oh my God, this is good.
So much better with the water. So much better with the water.
Mouth coating. Buy this one. This is the best Kalila I've had from Kalila. I've had some private bottlers that have arguably been better.
Usually the independent bottlers have better Kalila than Kalila.
Honestly, they're more prevalent too. I've seen Kalila more often private bottled than from Kalila itself.
You get it here, but it's not a big seller in Florida. Kalila private bottlers, they can be selective. They select specific barrels. They select the distillate and do their own thing.
Well, this was a really nice showing. I must admit, it really shows you how great the base spirit is. I'm not a huge fan of the heavily peated Kalila, as everybody knows, but this unpeated version, fantastic. It's fantastic. It sings.
This is so much better than that 14-year they put out.
Oh, yeah. No, it's delicious. Yeah, Justin,
what do you think? This is fantastic.
Welcome to Swirl Gone Wild. I got the sweet and malty notes on the nose. On the palate, I got seaweed, menthol, demerara sugar.
I'll give you the demerara sugar, but where the hell is the seaweed and the menthol?
That I'm not good.
It's in the spirit.
That was last week's episode.
Yeah. He didn't clean his glass up.
That's true. And the finish was like woody and sweet and a little salty. Really liked it.
All right. Well, we're going to be giving the Kalila Ambrosial Feast 11-year-old special releases 2024 a well-deserved 5 sips.
Oh, Martin, my goodness.
Happy. This is definitely a 5-sip whiskey.
I thought we gave it a 4.
That brings us to our last one, which is the Lagavulin Fireside Tales 12-year-old special release. It's 57.4% ABV, aged in a combination of bourbon barrels, refill American oak hogsheads, and refill European oak butts. Lagavulin was founded in 1816 by John Johnson. He was operating the distillery until his death in 1836 when it was purchased by Alexander Graham. That family ran it until 1862 when blender John Logan Mackey bought it. Upon his death in 1889, operations were taken over by his nephew, Peter Mackey, who gained fame as the creator of the White Horse blend in 1890. In 1924, when he died, ownership eventually passed to DCL, which evolved into Diageo. So
that White Horse is a sleeper.
People sort of dark straw color. Oh, and it's just classic Lagavulin nose. Just a clam bake on a beach, just the bonfire. So beautiful.
This is less woody than some of the other Lagavulins. It's more like that deep, rich, dark peat.
It's just, it's so clean and beautiful. And the saltiness of the sea air, you can just smell it like you're standing there. On the palate, it's just, toffee and coconut. It's got a lovely, creamy mouthfeel to it. Let's add a little water.
I don't get the coconut, but toffee and smoke and... gorgeous.
The water the water. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, water in it.
Yeah, put water in it. It just, the sweetness goes up. The saltiness is still there, but the sweetness just ramps up. This is lovely. Absolutely delicious. What'd you think, Justin?
On the nose, I got malt, smoke, and fried clams on the palate.
I had some fried clams.
I know. It would really go good with this.
Stop talking about clams.
Okay, fine. On the palate, it was...
Thank you, Mr. Wordy.
Creamy, then dry. I got like a light coconut.
That's actually that's a good call. It starts out creamy, but it dries on the palate.
Yeah.
It is drying.
Yeah, it starts creamy, though. Then dries you out.
But I agree with Bob. The water really it amps explodes. Up the sweetness and the creaminess.
All right.
Oh my
today,
God.
It's dry until today you put the water in it.
Today's we show. Dry January again.
Today's show is a lesson in water. Water.
Justin, put a little bit more.
Add
Jesus.
Water.
Don't whisper
add
the word water in the glass.
Add water. Yeah. I think the take-home lesson from today is try it neat. Try always a couple try drops neat. Of water.
Yeah.
I think
with it's so creamy with the water.
Virtually all the whiskeys we've tried today, you will be rewarded with a few drops of water.
You have my permission to break dry January to put water hey, in the spirit.
I'm always excited when we get to try the Diageo special releases, but this year.
Woo!
Yeah. Okay, so let me just say.
Hold on. I got to rate this. So the Lagavulin Fireside Tales 12-year-old special release 2024, we are going to give a well-deserved five sips because. Six hidden on the soundboard.
Oh my God. So last year's whiskey was like really highly rated. This is better. This is better.
Yeah. This is, again, thank you to the folks at Diageo for sharing these with us every year. This is always one that we look forward to. But this year was every one of them was fantastic. So, well, that's all the time we have for today. I want to thank our co-host for joining us today. Thank you to Made Man Maury.
Thank you, Bob. Another beautiful day in the basement.
Yeah, it didn't stink, did it?
No.
Thank you, Justin.
Thank you so much. Wow. What a great show.
And thank you, Harm.
You know, Bob, I say thank you every time. But this time, when you do Lagavulin and all these special releases, I really mean it this time.
Why don't you knock it off with them negative waves?
Yeah, I don't believe you. Yeah, well, for Sip, Suds, and Smokes, this is Made Man Bob. Thank you for joining us. And remember, life is too short to drink bad whiskey. And thankfully, today, that is not something that we have to worry about.
Not at all.
Yeah.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @sipsudsandsmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a 110 Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.